A grand jury report released yesterday implicates 301, quote, predator priests across Pennsylvania who allegedly abused more than 1,000 child victims. The report focused on six of Pennsylvania's eight Roman Catholic dioceses. Similar investigations were performed previously in Philadelphia. For victims and their families, having these reports come to light can be a vindication, but there are also a lot of difficult emotions there left to process. WHYY's Kevin McCrory sat down with a Philadelphia-area father whose son was sexually abused as a minor by a once-trusted priest. His son later died of a related drug overdose.
Well, Arthur Basilis Jr., thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Your son was given drugs and sexually abused by clergy at Archbishop Ryan High School in Northeast Philadelphia. His abusers included the principal, a Franciscan friar named Charles Newman. This started happening in the mid-1990s and continued for years. Your son was emotionally ravaged by the experience. He eventually got hooked on heroin and died of an overdose in 2006. He left behind a young son. The abuse wasn't detailed in the two grand jury reports about Philadelphia that came out in 2005 and 2011, but the Archdiocese found the allegations credible and removed Newman from public ministry. You have a tattoo of your son's face on your forearm. You keep some of his ashes in a bracelet on your wrist. When we spoke in 2015, you showed me the shrine you have built to your son in your home in South Jersey. Here's a clip from that story.
This is why I'm in a self-imposed exile. I don't want to go nowhere.
Do I cry a lot?
Yeah, most of the time.
Were you always an emotional person?
No. Emotional? Nah, not at all. But this hit home.
So, Arthur, how are you and your family doing now?
The only thing that's changed is the date. Everything else is the same.
What's it like on a day-to-day basis for you?
Misery. I've been punished and placed into a dark hole. And now with the advent of this grand jury report that came out, I've been placed further deeper into the hole.
Why is that? Why did it put you deeper into the hole?
Because of the fact that this is what, the fourth grand jury report? So the victims, do they finally start to believe the victims now? It took four grand jury reports. It stimulates emotions that I want to keep suppressed. I'm probably going to read the whole thing, but I got to do it in bits and pieces. I got to do it a little bit at a time because of the emotions and, you know, the day-to-day pain that my wife, I'm tired of watching my wife cry. I'm tired of watching my daughter cry. I'm tired of crying. When does this end?
So when these reports come out, is there any bright side for victims and their families that at least there's some vindication that their story is being told?
Well, I think what it does, it gives them some sort of relief to finally show that they were telling the truth. The protocol that I say, this is an opinion, is that the church denies, deceives, and ignores. They're more concerned about the abusers. They write those letters. They empathize with the abusers.
And when the bishops say now the church has reformed, we're taking this more seriously?
I don't care what they say. You judge a person by their actions, you'll never be fooled by their words. You know what I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about my legislators. This is the United States. This isn't Rome. Where's the separation of church and state?
And so you want a certain legislative outcome. What do you want?
Look, I want that SOL removed.
Statute of limitations.
I want it removed.
So no statute of limitations for child sexual assault.
Nope. No statute. And they, as a result of the fraudulent concealment by the church, they should at least have a two-year window for victims to be able to come forward and hold it. Like
file civil charges.
Because you can't go back, you know, criminally. And I agree with those people, those priests in the grand jury report that says they're being denied due process. Guess who else is being denied due process? the victims.
And so when they say the Catholic Church, the lobbyists for the Catholic Church say that if we had this two-year window where you can file a lawsuit retroactively, that's going to hurt the church financially. That might be unconstitutional. That's just going to bring people out of the woodwork who were seeking money.
So my question to you is this. So you're going to put the finances over the welfare and lives of victims?
But this isn't about you seeking money.
The two guys that molested my son and others, they're living large. They're not. Where do you think they're getting the money to live? You think they go out 9 to 5 and work picking up trash or McDonald's or minimum wage? They're laying up in their crib collecting a check from the people that donate.
So they're not in active ministry, but they're somewhere.
They're somewhere. And I got letters home that the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith stated that even though these two guys admitted to the sexual abuse of my son, they were not going to be removed from ministry. So the Pope's policy of zero tolerance, to me, is more of infinite tolerance.
Well, Arthur Basilis Jr., thank you so much for joining us.
I'm grateful for you giving me the opportunity to come on. I'm overwhelmed with the satisfaction. It's been a bright spot in an otherwise miserable life.
Sorry, Arthur.
Thank you.
WHYY's Kevin McCrory speaking with Arthur Basilis Jr., father of a victim of clergy abuse.